invite you to stand as you are able.
We begin this morning as we begin every morning here at Our Savior, and that is in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed be God, the one who forms us, Jesus who bears the cross, the Spirit who makes our joy complete. Let us bow before God in humility, confessing our sin. Steadfast and faithful God, you have revealed the ways of justice, yet we fail to follow you. We are overwhelmed by the world's violence and suffering. We are afraid to risk what we have for the sake of others, for the harm we have caused, known and unknown. Forgive us for the unjust demands we place on others and your creation. Forgive us for the ways we turn away from you and our neighbor. Forgive us. Lead us back to you and set us on the right path. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Beloved in Christ, God's justice stretches beyond all understanding. God's compassion is beyond compare. In Jesus, God is always making a new way for us. In Christ, you are already and always forgiven. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Beloved God, from you come all things that are good. Lead us by the inspiration of your Spirit to know those things that are right. And by your merciful guidance, help us to do them through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated for our readings from Scripture.
First reading is from Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. The prophet sings a sad parable-like love song about the relationship between God and Israel. In this song, Israel is compared to a promising vineyard. Despite God's loving care, the vineyard that is Israel has brought forth of injustice and distress. When fine grapes of justice and righteousness were expected. The reading begins. Let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today's psalm is Psalm 80, starting with verse 7. The antiphon, restore us, O God of hosts. Let your voice shine upon us, and we shall be saved. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall all be saved.
You have brought a vine out of Egypt.
You cast out the nations and planted it.
You cleared the ground for it. It took root, the land.
The mountains were covered by its shadow, and the towering cedar trees by its boughs.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. You stretched out its tendrils to the sea and its branches to the river.
Why have you broken down its wall so that all who pass by pluck off its grapes?
The wild boar of the forest has ravaged it, and the beasts of the field have grazed upon it.
Turn now, O God of hosts, look down from heaven.
Behold and tend this vine. Preserve what your right hand has planted.
Restore us, O God of hosts.
Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. Today's hymn of praise, This is the Feast. Today's second reading comes from Philippians, starting with chapter 3, starting 4b through 14. Paul reviews some of his supposed credentials, which no longer have any bearing in comparison to the right relationship he has been given through the death of Christ. The power of Christ's resurrection motivates him to press on toward the ultimate goal, eternal life with Christ. The reading begins. Paul writes, if anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings of becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please rise as you are able. Please join with me in our gospel acclamation. Alleluia. Jesus says, I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Alleluia. You may be seated. Or wait a minute, sorry. Brain's not working perfectly this morning. Our gospel today is from St. Matthew, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the people, listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance. So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to Jesus, he will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures? The stones that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because the crowds regarded Jesus as a prophet. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. So just one more added little piece of scripture from last week. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? I wanted us to all begin by hearing those words again as a good reminder that the parable we hear in the gospel today is yet another parable that Jesus was telling toward the religious leaders of the temple who were questioning his authority. So our gospel and most of our passages for today are about vineyards. And I'll be honest that I do not know very much at all about vineyards, other than the fact that grapes come out of them somehow or another. I know about grape jelly, grapes that we just eat from the table, and of course, grape juice, which was sort of a delicacy when I was a kid. We got that on very rare occasions as a treat. And of course, wine, which I never saw served or had seen anybody drinking while I was growing up. It just wasn't part of my family's heritage. I am certain, however, that that was not true for my late wife's family. Her grandfather apparently made his own wine. In fact, maybe he grew grapes. I'm not really sure. Every time we ate with them in this very large Italian family, he would claim that the bottle of wine served was the very last bottle, indicating that we should savor it even more. He was a really good guy, even if he was a little bit of a character at times. Of course, we're trying to absorb in these multiple passages that describe vineyards this day. This is used as an analogy for the people of God, the people of Israel, both in the time of Isaiah and in the time of Jesus. God is really concerned about the care and leading of God's people, whom God dearly loves. And God wants them to be good fruit, people who are concerned about justice, faith, compassion, and love. But within this comparison that's being made, how hard is it to tend a vineyard, after all, that this is all based on? What should proper care of a vineyard look like that is the basis of all these readings? Following is a little bit of vineyard education that I availed myself to for sharing with you today. It certainly sounds easy enough, but as it seems sort of similar to growing roses, which I'm far more familiar with, and I've had both success and failures, vineyards must be harder to care for than this article would have us believe. Grapevines, depending on their size at planting, can take a few years before they establish themselves. But when they do, the promise is that they'll produce really heavy yields of grapes from their vines for decades to come. Grapes, it says, are not difficult to grow, especially when you select the right varieties that are suited to your soil and your growing conditions. Somehow we're supposed to know that, I guess. That's certainly a part that I rather doubt. Keeping the weeds out and keeping the plants from going wild would seem to me to be an awful lot of work. The article says success boils down to starting the plants off right when planting and providing the proper long-term support and care for the vines. Ah, there's the catch. Apparently, there are actually two main styles of grapes, table grapes and wine or juice grapes. All these grapes need full sun to grow well. They need a location that's either full sun or as close to full sun as possible. Grapes are a perennial, meaning the soil that you plant them in needs to be prepared to support them for future growth for many years. It's vital, therefore, to prepare that soil properly at planting time for long-term nutrients and also good drainage. Grape plants apparently are susceptible to rot, particularly when they're very young. The grape plants also need support, both to keep the vines protected and keep the fruit off the ground. That makes sense. No matter where you plant, we need to remember that birds are also very fond of grapes as well, and so you probably ought to have some netting around to throw over it to protect them. During that first year of growth, all the grapes that form on the vines need to be removed as soon as possible from the plant so that all the power of the plant goes towards growing strong stems and roots. One of the most important tasks when growing grapes is long-term pruning. Pruning vines is important to keep the plants healthy and productive. As we think about the stems and the roots being strong, and also this pruning stuff, we need to think of ourselves as the vines. And I don't think that God's love for us includes necessarily pruning us in some manner or another, but God does love us and help us to remove the sinfulness from us, which we can think of perhaps in a similar manner to this pruning. So with this background and all of our passages today, all linked to the managing of vineyards, where does this really place us? The first passage that we heard is one that Jesus actually refers back to and uses in the gospel passage he shares with us. What we need to remember is that Jesus is still responding to those religious authorities that questioned his authority and what he was teaching the people at the temple. All of this occurs in Matthew, after he had entered the city on what we all know as Palm Sunday. So these stories are all linked to the events of Holy Week and are the background for some of the reasons for the religious authorities to have this angst with Jesus. We just don't really have time in that short week to capture all of this rich history of all that took place between those events that lead up to the events of Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. This, hearing these passages today, is our opportunity to examine those events in depth. We need to be aware that Jesus is not being particularly mean to these religious leaders. He just wants them to turn fully back to God and show love and the proper care of the people that they are in charge of. This is the problem that Jesus sees in them, that their focus on their relationship with the Romans causes them to forget that they are to be leading the people in doing God's will. They soon realize that they are the tenants in Jesus' parable who disregarded the prophets and will seek to remove God's Son, Jesus, who they do not believe in. They had made themselves the ones who decided if a person was in or out. They ignored the idea of providing good fruit for God and helping the people to know God's love and be followers of God, seeking justice, peace, and having compassion for all people. They instead themselves decided what justice looked like and used that to maintain their power over the people. We know of too many in our own day that would take a similar position, using their role to be the ones who define what justice looks like and deciding which people are counted in the group of desired people. Being people of God's love, it's really what all people strive for, even some who do not realize that this is a part of themselves. We hear each week of tragedies of shootings that need not happen, damage of property, mistreatment of others. Our newspapers and our news shows are just full of these incidents. Sometimes this makes us fear being welcoming, open people who try to just love one another. We know that sometimes being welcoming works, and we help a person connect or reconnect to Christ, and sometimes that does not happen. All God asks of us is to keep on trying to be good fruit, people of grace. A Presbyterian pastor, Cynthia Jarvis, says that this parable can convict us, just as it convicted the chief priests and the Pharisees. Religious institutions, she says, function in most societies to conserve the beliefs, the morals, and the reigning social order. That was true in the social order of first century Israel, and it is still true of the social order of 21st century America. But Jesus challenges us to practice justice in a way that can upset the status quo. He wants us to see the image of God in everyone, just as he saw God's likeness in a wide variety of people, including a Roman centurion and a Canaanite woman. God chose new people to be leading the people of God after this time of Jesus. People that were listening to God, feel God's love, and would lead the people in God's ways. We seek to hear the words that both convict us through the law and that our sin is answered by grace that Jesus provides for us. Our church is focused on justice, love, and compassion for all people of all races, genders, and faith backgrounds. We trust that God can work through us and through people that we might least expect to see the face of God in. In face-to-face conversations, we can see each other as children of God instead of representatives of different genders, races, ages, as well as different political points of view. About 20 years ago, a Catholic priest named Jerry Creedon devised an effective approach for talking openly about divisive subjects, ones that have provided his parishioners with an opportunity to really engage with each other in dialogue and listen to the voice of the Christian tradition. His program worked because the focus was on the parishioners listening to each other instead of reacting to each other. The process of dialogue and conversation is so important, said Creedon, because in face-to-face dialogue, we are forced to see each other as children of God. Looking back into history, we learn that Abraham Lincoln took the bold step of including some of his political rivals in his cabinet. Nelson Mandela maintained a connection with the Afrikaner community in South Africa, even though he had every reason to be very vindictive toward it. The fruit of justice is produced when we treat everyone as a valuable child of our God of love. One thing that we need to always remember is that we and everything around us belongs to God. We heard in the passage that the landowner, God, was asking for the fruits of the harvest to be handed over. God asked for all the produce, not a little bit, but all. When we realize that we are all tenants of God's kingdom and that we need to be providing God with good fruits of this kingdom vineyard that we call our earth and all and everyone that is in it, we then know that we have been called to follow God's will. We should be confident in our place with God and want to tell God that what we are offering is the most savory bottle of wine from God's vineyard, that we are offering to God blessed fruits. We give up all to God, our lives in faith and following what God wants from all of us, justice, faith, and compassion and love for one another, all without any stipulations. We ask God to continually help us in this endeavor, asking God to constantly restore us, shine God's face on us, and save us from ourselves. Let us be a good, healthy vineyard of our loving God. Amen.
Stand for our prayers this morning, and I wonder how many of you were watching television news either yesterday or today, but in what we call the Holy Land, feels anything but holy today. For those of you who don't know, one of our partner synods, called a companion synod, is the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Jordan in the Holy Land. And I have been there, I had the privilege of being there almost half a dozen times now in various exchanges back and forth, and I've gotten to know a lot of the pastors and the people that are there. And so this morning, my heart is breaking for that. And in addition to the prayers that we have printed, that Julie will be leading us here in just a moment, continue to pray for a place where there has not been peace for a very long time, that somehow, some way, there might be peace. Trusting in the transformative power of God's loving Spirit, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need.
God of all grace, you are the source of life and joy. Strengthen the resolve of your church throughout the world, that together we press on toward the goal of your heavenly call in Jesus Christ. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
God of all creation, you plant and nourish the earth as your own precious vineyard. Bless fields and orchards in the hands of those who labor in them, and that your people are fed with an abundant harvest of good fruit. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
God of all earth, you desire peace and justice between nations and peoples. Guide leaders of nations, states, provinces, and cities, that they faithfully govern your people with wisdom, integrity, and compassion. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
God of compassion, in Christ, you lovingly poured yourself out like wine for your people. Have mercy on all who mourn, who struggle with their mental health, who cry out for justice, who hunger and in any need. Today, Lord, we pray for Donna Barnish, Carol Cataldo, Tanya Cleaver, Jennifer Hudson, Pastor Don and Cheryl Dorsbacher, Jack D. Terry, Ken Doty, Barb Downing, Barbara Gruitt, Brian Hedberg, Rob Kornfeld, Ken Majeski, Pastor Charlie Martin, Sherry Moserak, Beverly and Ed O'Connor, Leon Quater, Natalie Raymond, Camille Rigney, Carl Rich, Dawn Siebert, Sandy Smith, Bill Steinhaus, Robbie Zweck, Bob Turno and family, Carol Watson, Douglas Weaver, Jim and Flo Young, Cheryl Deesing and her family with the passing of her father, Scott Reed with his the family of Scott Reed with his passing, the family of Julia Kruski with her passing. We pray for the NA Project returning to our Savior, those serving to protect our nation both at home and overseas, that they may return safely. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
God of all steadfastness, you set Christ as the cornerstone and foundation of the church. Build up this congregation as living stones, that it stands in the community as a witness to your enduring faithfulness and love. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
We pray this week, as we have been, for all of those who have been affected by floods, by hurricanes, and by wildfires. We ask, Lord God, that you will be with them, comfort them, and guide them in finding their life once again. And as Pastor Sean said, we pray as well for peace in the Middle East to come to those people and to allow them to live in grace. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
God of all hope, the saints who came before us lived and died with their hearts fixed on you. We give you thanks for their faithful witness, and we wait with hope for the great day when we join their voices in praise. God of grace,
hear our prayer. Gracious God, into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your unending love and amazing grace through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
The peace of Christ is with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated for the offering.
Thank you for your continued support of the Christian ministry here at Our Savior Lutheran Church. We have a few announcements. The hygiene drive for the Harbor for Youth continues on. There's a list at the back of the church with the list of items that we are looking for. Thank you so much for helping us with this drive. There's many items of various prices that everybody should be able to pick up everywhere for us. Thank you. We have council meeting this Tuesday at 7 p.m. We also still have the response to the Lutheran, the hurricane relief is also going on. God of power, God of plenty, all things belong to you. We bring your gifts to the table that all might be fed. Form us into the body of your beloved, Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
And our offering hymn today, Jesus Loves Me. We all know that one. We don't need a vocalist for this one.
Sing it boldly.
Even I can sing this one.
yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me.
I invite you to join with me in the words of prayer taught to us by Jesus himself. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The God of glory, Jesus Christ, the name above all names, the Spirit who lives within you, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. We'll join together in singing our closing hymn.
You may be seated.
in peace. God is at work in you.
Thanks be to God.